So our scripture gospel reading today connects directly to the psalm that we've been hearing and singing. This is John chapter 10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his sheep, the shepherd goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will run from a stranger because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, and the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life, lays down his life for the sheep." Some of you weren't signed on yet when I gave my little joke for the morning. The Washington Post today, writing about how all of us as faith communities are trying to figure out how to worship online, said the new sound of worship this Sunday is someone saying, "Can you mute your microphone, please?" So we've been living with that. All of us connecting now remotely, seeing each other in little images on the screen or hearing each other's voices. Although, as Amy Chafee wrote from listening in last week when she wasn't able to get video, she realized that we do know one another's voices. Even when we don't see each other, we can recognize each other by the sound of our voices. It's a strange, uncertain time we're living in, and it's easy to feel anxious and afraid. Think about how much has changed just since last Sunday. We're trying to self-quarantine all of ourselves, trying to stay healthy and trying to help keep other people healthy by not spreading germs, washing our hands way more than usual, using hand sanitizer if we can find it, wiping down surfaces. We're social distancing physically, but even when we're trying to connect and feel the need to connect more than usual, to share our stress, to support each other and be here together. Wednesday night, I was part of a Zoom session with some pastors in our American Baptist group of churches, our region. And when I listened to them describing their feelings and the ways they're coping, I figured they probably reflected pretty much the range of what we at First Baptist may be feeling and the ways we may be coping. Some of us have been really busy, especially IT people, working to adapt, to help other people adapt, to create online learning and worship, to learn new technologies, trying to figure out how things can still go on in a new virtual way. Others are mostly stuck at home, trying to figure out what to do, how to occupy kids, how to try to do some learning, how to do crafts and home improvement projects, cleaning out closets, pulling out files you've said you would organize. Thankfully that it's spring, going out and gardening, walking, biking. I hear James has set a goal to bike 10 miles a day, hiking. And then there's the not so positive, binging on food, binging on TV or movies. Finding that when we try to focus on books we said we ought to read, maybe it's hard to read because we feel distracted, uncentered, feeling isolated or lonely. Finding ourselves cranky or irritable, already feeling tired of being in the same space or having to be with the same few people, wanting to have a plan and feeling like plans keep constantly getting upended, trying to create some routine and wondering how long this is all going to last. Trying to stay grounded. Trying to call for our higher angels to lead us. So how do we do this? What do we do? How do we get through this time? It is the season of Lent, and I read a great quote on Facebook yesterday, which said, I didn't plan on giving up this much for Lent. Way more than any of us plan on. Bill and I have a friend, Russell Seiler Jones, who is a therapist. And he's recently published a book for therapists about bringing the spiritual aspects into their therapy. And he wrote a blog this last week that was on Psychology Today, which he titled 20 Beats 19. Russell's always witty, clever. So he played around with COVID-19. Co, he said, can remind us of all the words in English that begin with C-O or C-O-N or C-O-M, like cooperate, community, connect, coordinate, communion. All those words come from the Latin root with. So even in our physical time of distance, we can work on all the ways that we can communicate and connect and be in communion with each other and with God. He also talked about the VID 19. VID can help us think about video or viewing. And he strongly suggests we try to limit how much viewing we're doing of all the bad news in the world. Don't give the virus more than 19 minutes a day of hearing the news, is his recommendation. Because 20 is what we need. 20 seconds every time we wash our hands. But even more importantly, he says, 20 minutes of spiritual practice. Maybe even 20-20. 20 minutes of spiritual practice twice a day. Spiritual practices can be all sorts of things. They're the things we do that help us stay centered and grounded. They are habits that nurture our souls. They are the practices that can give us direction in confusing and unsettling times. They're activities that strengthen our faith and nurture our hope. They're what we do that can expand our compassion and our love. So what are some spiritual practices we may be already doing, may need to do more of, may need to do at least 20 minutes or 20-20 every day? Of course, there's meditation, centering prayer, and all the other forms of meditation, all the practices that help us stop, regroup, slow our anxious, worried, fearful minds. Remind ourselves that we are not alone. Help us connect to the largeness of God's Spirit. Meditation can be as little as the 20 seconds you spend washing your hands, as we said last week. We can sing a chant or a spiritual song instead of happy birthday, and it can remind us of our faith in God. Another spiritual practice we've already referred to, time out in nature, paying attention to nature. We are really blessed that most of us, although not all, are living still in places where we can still get outside. I think about people in New York City's in high-rise apartment buildings. Much harder for them in this time to get out and not be around a lot of other people. But we can get outside. We can look out the windows at a bird feeder, look around, be with our animals, our pets. It's springtime, and that is a huge blessing. It hit me that this happened in China in the dead of winter. It was back in December and January when they were shut down. And I also think as we're out in nature, there is a powerful reminder there that even in the midst of all of our human distress and even suffering at this time, God is working for good. This slowdown of human activity is really good for planet Earth. it's really good for the other creatures and beings of this earth when humans aren't so busy doing and putting out things, CO2 for one. They say in Wuhan, China, you can see the blue sky better than they've been able to see it in years. They say they can hear the birds singing more than they have in years. And in Venice, Italy, they say the water in the canals has cleared. There's swans, and they've spotted dolphins swimming in the canals for the first time in 60 years. Mother Earth has taken a deep breath. And when we go out in nature or look out our windows, we can be reminded that a little less human activity can be good for the earth and its creatures. And then there's prayer, not just for ourselves and those we love, but for the whole world, especially as we've already done for those on the front lines of caring and responding, and for those who are sick and those who are grieving. This virus is a challenge to expand our compassion. It's forcing us to know in a much more concrete ways that we're all interconnected, all dependent. We all touch the same surfaces. We all breathe the same air. And what happens in China or South Korea truly does impact us here. So we're being stretched and challenged to pray for the world. My personal confession is how little attention, how little prayer I gave to the people of Wuhan, China, when this coronavirus was just something happening way over there. Another spiritual practice is reading, watching videos, turning to things that are sacred, that inspire us, that help us remember what is most important, that connect us to who we are and whose we are, God's children. And one piece of that is the study of scripture, because there's so much wisdom and strength for us to draw on from these kinds of writings, the witness of people of faith who've gone through trying times. People over the generations have known suffering and distress, and their stories and their words can help us in this time. So as you can tell, Psalm 23, this week's psalm, spoke straight to my heart, because I think we need a shepherd right now. I need a shepherd right now. And the promises of this psalm are what people of faith have held on to for the generations. The Lord, the creator of the universe, is our good shepherd who knows our needs and who leads us into green pastures and beside still waters, who restores our soul. God is here with us. God leads us in the ways that are right. God's rod and staff are a comfort. The good shepherd uses them to make sure we don't get way off track, to nudge us back in the right direction, to remind us not to wander off, but to stay connected to the shepherd and to the flock of other sheep who belong as part of us. These words can touch our worry and distress and speak to us of the love and care of God. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because our God, our good shepherd, is with us. Christ is walking with us, guiding us, abiding with us, blessing us with whatever we truly need, helping us to find the resources and the spiritual practices that will feed our souls, and helping us still to connect to the people who are soul friends and to the community that can help us get the nurture and care, and to whom we can give the nurture and care we all need. God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Even in times of threat and trouble, even when there is distress, even when it feels like the world as we know it is getting turned upside down, God's blessing, God's goodness are here for us to receive. And then there's that last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Hebrew words literally mean will chase after me, will pursue me. God is always chasing after us, always pursuing us, trying to give us goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. And I will dwell. We will dwell. We will abide in the house of God forever. This isn't just about later, about heaven after we die. This is about now, here, in these difficult times. The words of Jesus from John's Gospel come straight, building directly from this psalm. Jesus tells us that he is the shepherd. He is the one who goes in through the gate to gather us together and to lead us out. Yes, there are enemies. There are thieves and robbers who would rob us of our joy, who would steal our hope, enemies who would lead us astray and drag us down. And our enemies right now are as much internal as they are external. Our worries, our fears, our anxious thoughts that go round and round and round, the depression that wants to drag us down. But our good shepherd, Jesus, wants to guide us, to lead us. He knows the way. He is our guide through uncertainty and through fear. His sheep know his voice and they follow. He leads us to good pastures. He leads us to abundant life. Jesus is the good shepherd, he says, who lays down his life for his sheep. God wants to give us goodness and mercy, and that is so fully revealed to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The heart of the gospel is here. Jesus says that he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus wants to show us God's love, God's goodness and mercy that is poured out for us. Not just a little bit of grace and love, not just a taste of forgiveness, not just a touch of mercy. No, God's mercy and love is abundant, overflowing. This is where we turn. This is where we can look to get us through these hard times. There is abundance and mercy. There is goodness. And there's joy and gratitude to be found even when things are hard and scary. And when we doubt this and we aren't sure and we fear we may lose our way, we can look to others who have been through really difficult times. The last hymn we're going to sing is Now Thank We All Our God. It was written by a Lutheran pastor named Martin Rinkhart. We associate it with Thanksgiving, with joyful celebration of harvests and tables loaded with food and family gathered all together. But that's not where this hymn began. Rinkhart wrote it during the 30 Years' War in the 1600s. He was a pastor in a town in Saxony, Germany. The town was overrun and besieged three different times by armies. It was overflowing with refugees. There was starvation, and plague swept through the city for months. Rinkhart was one of four pastors. One fled, two died, and he buried them. He was the only pastor left trying to provide spiritual support to the town and to care for his own family. It is reported there were some days when he did 50 funerals a day, and he did over 4,000 funerals in that year, including his own wife's. But this hymn, which he wrote and sang with his children, is a hymn of thanksgiving, of gratitude for God's abiding presence in the midst of trouble and suffering, in the middle of grief and fear. In a time of anxiety, we do not have to fear evil. We don't have to be afraid because our God is with us. We can sing our faith. We can sing our thanks. We can strengthen our fainting hearts and encourage our anxious spirits. Surely, goodness and mercy will chase after us all the days of our lives, and we will abide in the house of our God forever. Now, thank we all, our God.